Chapter 11.
In this town, it all went down. Our chromosomes in sepia tones. In my mind. In my mind. Where you led your lives before, from our small island, brought right back to these shores. To these shores. To these.
A week later, the brain scan image is projected in the middle of the round table in the council's meeting room. Even without Rowenny's explanation about both the scan and the removal procedure they have scheduled for next week, all with Fives' approval, it is unmistakable. When she's finished, Obi-Wan takes the floor before a discussion can break out. He follows up on the now confirmed existence of the chip, outlining a plan that starts with understanding what exactly the chip does and will hopefully end with de-chipping all the clones. The first question already arises when he's on the first slide and subsequently the first step of the plan, finding out what exactly this behavioral chip does. And who will do that? Sen asks with a raised eyebrow. Dr. Rowenny already said this is not her expertise, and we don't have this kind of knowledge available to us. He looks at Florent. Unless I'm wrong. Florent shakes his head. We have neither the knowledge nor the resources on Melodon, unless an individual has taken up microelectronics as a hobby. Offering Obi-Wan an apologetic smile, he adds, this isn't something we want to outsource to a third party either, considering the risks. There are several specialized troopers in the Gar that do have the expertise needed to look into this. My suggestion would be that we get in touch with Commander Cody, whom you all know, and liaise with him, Obi-Wan says. Of course, secrecy is required in this case, but as this concerns all of the clones, I'm confident that won't be an issue, especially considering the fact that the next step would be to start brainstorming on the possibilities to remove the chip from as many of the clones as possible. Sen raises an eyebrow. If you're going to involve the Gar, why can't they do that themselves? Why aren't the Jedi doing anything? The Republic? Why must we be the ones to help? The clones aren't going to activate their own chips in retaliation and destroy the free will of all the men. The Republic might, especially since no one knows what the chips do and the origin of them is uncertain, Obi-Wan shoots back. It is a massive risk that we're trying to avoid, considering the disastrous consequences. Why would they do it here? Onamek demands with a scowl. Who's to say this isn't the Republic's plan? A way to manipulate us so we get involved like they've wanted since the beginning? Delia shoots her an incredulous look. Chips in the heads of all of the clones just so Melodon will hone their request for an outpost? She laughs humorlessly. We are not that important. Well, maybe not. Onamek's defiance falters for a moment, but it hasn't completely gone. And I want to make it clear I am in no way agreeing to this, but let's say we do destroy our neutrality and risk the safety of our whole population to de-chip the Republic's clone soldiers. Will we be halfway through and find out about anything else? She turns her glare to Fives. Any other modifications fabricated in a lab we should know about? Fives watches her with a raised eyebrow and a spark of mischief in the Force, leans against the back of his chair. A grin spreads on his lips, and his eyes are intense as they turn to Delia. Well, he drawls. Delia flashes bright red and lowers her head into her hands with a groan, while chuckles, huffs, and deep sighs go around the table. All is silenced when Onamek slams both her hands down on the table and glares at Fives. Are you taking this seriously? Are you? Fives shoots back, fire in his eyes and Duracrete in his voice. Sounds to me like you're just an asshole. As if I know all the modifications. Finding out about the chips was such a big accident, I'm now a wanted man. Yes, there are more. No, you probably can't do anything about it unless you're in genetics. Doubt it'll be easy to reverse any of the accelerated aging, for example. Obi-Wan's eyes widen, an unpleasant feeling curling in his gut as shock ripples through the room. Accelerated aging? Yeah, to get us ready in time for the war. How fast is accelerated? Rowenny asks, while at the same time Delia whispers, how old are you? Fives shrugs, as if that information isn't important. Trivial, compared to the chips. To him, it probably is. Everyone else, though, seems to be holding their breath. We age twice as fast, Fives says, answering Rowenny's question. Then he adds, I was decanted 12 years ago. There's a beat of silence before all hell breaks loose. After 3 days of discussion and deliberation, the council votes for the proposal to help the clones. Not unanimously so, and there are caveats. Melodon won't join the Republic, no clones will be housed near any cities, the council must be informed if Melodon is at danger if a chip is activated before any other clone than Fives is de-chipped on Melodon. But it is a yes all the same. The first step is to get the GAR involved so they can investigate the chip after Fives' surgery that is planned to take place in 2 days. Considering it's best that the galaxy believe Fives to be dead, and no one is quite sure if communication to and from a Star Destroyer is monitored, that task is up to Obi-Wan. Hello, my dear, he sends one evening, hoping the other will be available to chat. For as far as he knows, the previous campaign is finished by now, but then again, what does he really know? He receives an answer when he's having lunch with Delia the next day. Hello, lovely. All good. He calls you lovely? Delia asks with a delighted grin. That is so cute. Obi-Wan pretends he isn't blushing. Shut up. This is a serious conversation. He turns back to his comm and writes Cody. He's decided to go for the slightly awkward, slightly clingy boyfriend approach and hopes that Cody easily sees right through the farce. I actually got you something. I think you're gonna love it. Just hope we have a chance to meet anytime soon, because I'd hate to have to wait another 5 months before I give it to you. A gift, huh? Cody sends after a minute, and despite not being able to grasp tone through text, it feels like he understands. Especially since in a normal situation, Obi-Wan would never ask to meet just so he can give a gift to a man that's commanding a whole corps during a currently ongoing war. That feeling is confirmed when Cody sends, Lucky for me, I don't have to wait 5 months to find out. Meeting isn't actually impossible this time. Rex and I have a routine base inspection planned for next week. Melodon could technically be on our way back, depending on which route we take. They're coming, he breathes in excitement when he reads the message. He looks up at Delia with a wide smile. Cody and Rex, they're coming to Melodon. Fuck, Delia breathes, her shoulders sagging in relief. Fives is going to be so happy. Despite being elated upon hearing the news of both Cody and Rex coming to Melodon, when the day arrives and he's standing in between Obi-Wan and Delia, their small welcoming party of three, in the hangar, Fives' nerves are a flutter in the force when the ship touches down. Obi-Wan doesn't blame him. He would be nervous too if he'd been in Fives' situation. Even he doesn't feel completely at ease despite this being Cody, despite the Force being nothing but calm. But this is a big moment where they'll show their full hand, because after successful brain surgery, the chip has been removed from Fives' brain, and they'll hand it over to Cody and Rex, if they can convince them to go along with their plan. When Cody and Rex get out of their ship and step onto the landing pad, it's obvious right away that Fives isn't the only nervous one. Their uncertainty flickers in the Force like a candle in the wind as their eyes find Fives straight away. But despite that, Cody looks relieved when he sees Fives. As he walks closer, his shoulders relax just the tiniest bit and tight lines around his eyes loosen. Rex isn't nearly so subtle. His shoulders are tense, and while there is certainly relief in his eyes at seeing Fives, there is a clear glimmer of guilt as well. His steps falter, and he looks at Fives as if he thought he'd never see the other again. Not exactly like he's seeing a ghost, but rather as if part of him had thought this all to be a cruel joke. Fives, he breathes, and takes a deep breath before he rushes over and, without any hesitation, pulls Fives into a hug. Captain, Fives gasps, and for a moment he stands frozen in surprise before hugging Rex back. Rex leans back and places his hands on Fives' shoulders. I should have listened to you. Nah, it's all right, Captain, Fives says, trying to brush the other's words off with a chuckle. I wouldn't have listened to me either, probably. Rex's hands fall away and he frowns, shaking his head. I've known you since you were a shiny. I should have known better than to discard your words straight away just because they sounded... insane, Fives asks. Not the first time you've done something crazy and it still worked out, Rex says with a grin, that Fives easily returns. He sobers quickly, offering the other an apologetic smile. I'm sorry, brother. You're here now, Fives says with a forgiving smile. He turns his eyes to Cody, who has approached the group. You too, Commander. Cody dips his head at Fives. I think it's safe to say we all wish things had gone differently, but we can start making it up to you now. Fives' eyes widen. You believe me? Cody nods. Rex has told me what he knows, and we've started an investigation of our own, he says, and anger, although barely there, flows in the Force like a faraway flame. There is no question about what they've found. Cody turns his eyes to Obi-Wan. I don't know what exactly it is you wish to discuss, but if there's a plan, he says, and his lips curl into a grim smile, we want in. The speeder ride from the hangar to the Melodon governmental building takes 20 minutes. Obi-Wan is very happy to let Delia drive while Fives and Rex take the two other seats at the front. Judging from their not-so-secretive smiles and Fives' eyebrow waggle, the three of them are also very happy to let Obi-Wan and Cody have the back seat to themselves. Cody rolls his eyes, but his expression softens when Obi-Wan slides into the back seat with him. Hello, Obi-Wan murmurs, his knee touching Cody's, a hand resting on top of the other's leg, and his lips pressing a soft kiss against the corner of Cody's mouth. Hi, Cody replies, cheeks a few shades darker than normal. Fives sucks in a breath, as if to say anything, and Cody hisses, Watch yourself, Arc Trooper Fives. Man, Fives whines before he clears his throat and straightens a bit, an air of mischief surrounding him. I mean, yes, sir. I'll let you enjoy the backseat with your boyfriend in peace, sir. Delia snickers, Rex's shoulders are definitely shaking with repressed laughter, and Obi-Wan tries his best to hide his own laugh behind the palm of his right hand, the one that isn't holding Cody's hand. Cody heaves a deep sigh, but Obi-Wan can see amusement playing in his eyes. You're lucky I can't write you up for latrine duty. Fives chuckles. Incredibly so, sir, he says, and then they're off. On the back seat, Cody and Obi-Wan sit with their sides pressed together, their intertwined fingers resting on Cody's leg, as Obi-Wan softly talks about several points of interest they pass by. When they are close to their destination, Obi-Wan points towards a familiar building. You see that curved building over there, with the trees? Cody turns to look. The red one? Terracotta, Obi-Wan replies. It's an automatic response by now, considering everyone always gets the color wrong. Come on, Delia snorts from the driver's seat. Give your boyfriend a break. It's red. A pleased smile flashes over Cody's lips as Delia says boyfriend. But it turns teasing almost straight away when he raises an eyebrow at Obi-Wan. The terracotta one? Yes, that one. Obi-Wan says, with a roll of his eyes. But when he catches Cody's eyes drifting over to the building again, he can't help but smile fondly. It's where I live. Cody takes a deep breath in through his nose and his expression softens. It looks even better than you described. Maybe you can check it out later, Rex says enthusiastically, not caring a single bit at outing himself as an eavesdropper. Cody sighs. We really can't stay that long. It's better we aren't missed. He squeezes his hand around Obi-Wan's apologetically. Rex turns around in his seat to look at Cody. I'm sure we can spare a few hours. Cody grimaces. That depends on how long we need for our discussion. Well, Delia drawls, sounding absolutely delighted. Since you guys already said you want in on whatever we're planning, I'm hoping it won't take too long. She pulls the speeder up in front of the governmental building and turns in her seat, winking at Cody. So I'm quite sure you'll have some time for Obi-Wan to take you home. It's a tight fit, six people in Obi-Wan's office, and they've had to grab two extra chairs from Neild's office next door so everyone can sit. First, everyone needs to put their cards on the table. Their findings are much the same. After Fives' disappearance, a worried and devastated Rex approached Cody. Initially, it had seemed too wild a story to be true, but after consideration, both men had decided something didn't add up. When asking Steady to perform a brain scan on both of them, and then himself, the results were the same as what Rowenny had found. By chance, they've managed to remove one chip from a trooper that sustained a head injury during a campaign. They currently have Cries working on slicing the chip to find out exactly what they're dealing with. But, Cody says with a heavy sigh, I don't care what's on these things. I don't want any kind of chip in any of my brother's heads. Rex nods with a grave expression. We're not slaves, he says. I've spoken to some of the other CCs, and we all agree this thing needs to go out sooner rather than later. Cody's expression shifts from determined into a weary frown. But it's not something we can do off record. Not with the medical equipment and resources that are needed. It will raise too many discrepancies and then too many questions we can't answer. We can help with that, Sarasi offers. Next to her, Neild nods. That's why we asked for you to come here. This isn't something we felt comfortable sharing over Hollow, but we can help, he says, and then adds, if your slicer tells us what's on the chips, a prerequisite from the council. Cody frowns. A prerequisite for what exactly? De-chipping your men here on Meladon, Neild says, looking pleased. Cody blinks, the tenseness in his face making way for a flicker of confusion as he repeats, de-chipping the men on Meladon, as if he hasn't heard Neild right. Rex's eyes are wide, looking baffled. You would do that for us? We would, Sarasi allows with a kind smile. Cody looks at Neild with a raised eyebrow. Why? Neild doesn't flinch, but it's a near thing. He breaks eye contact with Cody, instead looking down at the table with a grimace. I was 11 when I killed someone for the first time. War, you know? Self-defense isn't much of a choice if you want to survive, he says, his voice barely above a whisper. He shrugs, letting out a wet huff that contradicts any casualness he's trying to project. He continues, voice a tad louder, but it still wavers at the edges. But what happened after? The young. That was a choice. He looks up from the table, at Cody and Rex, and there is anger simmering in his eyes. You don't even have that. The fucking Republic didn't give you one. Creates you just to fight, takes away your childhoods, and puts carking chips in your head before sending you to your death. It's... He breaks off with a scowl, shaking his head. Obi-Wan can guess what choice words he swallows down. There is an answering anger simmering in the Force, combined with something close to grief as Cody and Rex watch Neild. Neither says anything. Neild sighs and offers the two clones a sad smile that doesn't reach his eyes. I don't think 11-year-old me would ever forgive me if I didn't want to help. Most of the council feels the same way, and I can assure you that most of Meladon will feel the same way too, Sarasi says, before either Cody or Rex can say something. Yes, we want our peace. Yes, we want our neutrality. But if by being neutral we lose our morality... Apropos of sounding like Obi-Wan, Neild says, a little more relaxed with a small smile spreading on his lips. It's the right thing to do. That's... Rex starts, surprise in his voice and his features soften as he smiles gratefully. We appreciate that. Cody nods, a small smile on his own lips. The other commanders need to approve. And the Jedi, the Senate, Obi-Wan asks carefully. Cody shakes his head. Not until we know more about the chips. Obi-Wan nods. If the other commanders agree and you've let us know what Cries finds, the council will give their final approval. But that doesn't mean we can't already start discussing a plan. Delia shoots Cody and Rex a sympathetic look. although the most difficult part is up to you. Rex raises an eyebrow. Oh? We can provide all the resources you need, but it's up to you to ensure all your men rotate through here, Delia says. Rex rubs a hand over his forehead. We can't just station men here. You're not even part of the Republic. We have a solution for that, Obi-Wan replies. A year ago, the Republic approached us because they wanted an outpost on Melodon. We refused, obviously. Neild grins sharply. And now we're changing our minds. Convenient, Cody says. So all we have to do is assign a short rotational guard duty to Melodon. You're sure they'll approve that and not insist on using it as a placement for some shinies? Rex asks. Cody grimaces. Not after Rishi. Both Rex and Fives' grief is almost tangible in the Force. Right, Rex says, voice tight. Short rotation it is. The moment the front door of Obi-Wan's apartment closes behind him, Cody pulls him into a kiss. Obi-Wan kisses back without hesitation, his hands on Cody's hips. But there is a hint of desperation in the way Cody's fingers curl against the back of his neck, and something almost angry in the press of his lips against Obi-Wan's. When their kiss breaks, Cody leans his forehead against Obi-Wan's. You absolute idiot, he mutters against Obi-Wan's lips. Cody. No, don't, Cody pleads, leaning back. A somber smile pulls at his lips, and he slides his hand from Obi-Wan's neck to his cheek, brushing his thumb over the skin right beneath his left eye. You're putting Melodon at such a risk. Understanding dawns, and Obi-Wan reaches up one of his hands to place it over the one Cody has rested against his cheek. We have to. You don't, Cody says, with a huff with just a hint of fondness. But you're doing it anyway. And I need to be selfish for my brothers. I'll take all the help we can get. But you were never supposed to get tangled up in this war. You never wanted to, and that was... Cody breaks off, expression pinched. Fuck, Obi-Wan. One of the few comforts I had was knowing you're safe here. Fear and heartbreak wrap around Cody and the Force like a thin blanket, and Obi-Wan feels his heart ache for the other. Especially because he is the cause of it. Cody, he murmurs, and curves a hand around the back of Cody's head, bringing their foreheads together. I will be fine, he promises. I will be here, not on the front lines like you. I guess, Cody says, still hesitant but relaxing slightly. Obi-Wan gives the other a small, encouraging smile. If anything, with your men here, I'll be even safer, he says. He doesn't add that perhaps he, too, is a bit selfish, that all he wants is for Cody to be safe in the same way that Cody wants him to be. But it's not something the other needs to hear, nor is it something he can promise. Cody's answering smile is a tad fragile, but at least it's void of doubt. So, Obi-Wan drawls, and takes a step away from Cody so he can wave a hand towards his kitchen. How about I give you a tour of the place now? Eventually, they find their way to the couch. Once they sit down and Obi-Wan sits tucked against Cody's side, Cody's eyes fall onto the book on the caff table. Is that the Hitchhiker's Guide? He asks in both awe and excitement. It is. Obi-Wan grins and calls the book over to him with a wave of his hand. Here, he says, as he holds it out to Cody. Give it a try. Cody carefully takes the book from Obi-Wan. He strokes a finger over the cover, chuckling softly to himself as he traces the edges of the green smiley. He opens the book and leafs through it slowly and gently. Obi-Wan watches with a fond smile, happy that Cody seems as taken with flimsy books as he is. Perhaps even more so, he thinks, considering how little Cody has. After a moment, Cody closes the book and bumps his shoulder against Obi-Wan's with a grin. You were right, it does feel nicer. When Cody holds the book out for Obi-Wan to take, he shakes his head. No need to give it back, he says, and gently pushes the book closer to Cody again. It's yours now. Cody's eyes widen. I can't, it's... A gift, Obi-Wan says. He wants Cody to have nice things, little comforts, during this seemingly never-ending war. Cody puts the book in his lap and turns toward Obi-Wan so he can reach up his right hand and curl it around the other's neck to bring him in closer. "Thank you," he murmurs, and kisses Obi-Wan, soft and sweet and full of appreciation. Obi-Wan isn't sure how long they end up making out on his couch. At one point, he's used the Force to move the book over to the table again, and Cody has found his way onto his lap. Cody presses a trail of kisses from Obi-Wan's mouth to just below his left ear. One of his hands has found its way into Obi-Wan's hair, and the other is just teasing at the edges of his shirt. Obi-Wan leans his head to the side to give Cody better access, one of his hands stroking up strong thighs to the curve of Cody's ass. On the table, the built-in communicator on Cody's Vambrace beeps, startling both men. Fuck. Cody drops his head onto Obi-Wan's shoulder with a heavy sigh. Obi-Wan rubs a comforting circle against Cody's back. "Time to go?" he asks, even if he already knows the answer. Cody sits up with a grimace. "Unfortunately," he says, but makes no move to get out of Obi-Wan's lap yet. Instead, he presses a quick but gentle kiss against Obi-Wan's cheek. "Thank you for the book, and for showing me your home." With warmth in his chest, Obi-Wan doesn't quite think when he says, "It could be yours too." Cody's eyes widen. "What?" Obi-Wan's eyes widen too the moment he realizes what exactly he's said. Kark, why did he even say that? It's much too soon. But he still means the words, and, surprisingly, there is a cautious hope in Cody's eyes. He swallows, working up courage, and, once he's found it, offers Cody a hesitant smile and an even more hesitant explanation. "After the war, of course, and only if you want. I just want you to know that no matter what, you'll always have a home here." A look of awe spreads over Cody's face, and he reaches up one of his hands so he can trail the curve of Obi-Wan's cheek with the meat of his thumb. "With you," he murmurs. "Yes." Cody's Vambrace beeps again, a second reminder that their time together should be over for now. Cody smiles longingly, presses that smile against Obi-Wan's lips, and, when they part, he whispers, "I'd like that." Obi-Wan tightens his hold on Cody before the moment is broken, and Cody gets up to leave. Has to leave. For now. Orshot is a small town a 2 days' flight away from Zahava. It lays deep in what 3 decades ago was considered Dawn territory, and nowadays is mostly abandoned. Most have moved away to Eindhoven, a nearby city 3 hours away, with the promise of more work and less haunting memories of a past they'd all rather forget. Because while Orshot has picturesque brick buildings and cobblestone streets, the only reason those are still there is because it also used to be home to the Dawn's biggest and most fortified military base. And now it will be used as such again. At least, that is the guise. For news about the true intent of the chips has come back. A list of orders that, according to Cody, range from protection of certain members of the Senate to full assassination of the Jedi. They're not provided the full list, as the clones are investigating, and they don't want anyone to have access to the orders that could mean nothing but disaster. It's still enough to cement most of the Council's decision to go ahead as planned. Neild, Florent, and Delia are in charge of readying the facility, with the help of Roeni, while Sarasi and Jawo are working on a planetary-wide communication plan informing their citizens about the Gar presence on Melodon, including several safeguard options in case of calamities or civil unrest. They'll spin it for the Melodani the same way Obi-Wan and Sen willed the Republic Senate. That both the attempted assassination on Obi-Wan and the blockade on Gaul have shown them how quickly a situation can change, how vulnerable they are simply on their own. So, for their own safety in these turbulent and uncertain times, they seek a mutually beneficial agreement with the Republic. The desired Gar outpost for the Republic and protection for Meladon. Their own citizens are relieved more than anything else, fear slowly soaking into them after the Separatists' attempted invasion of Gaul. Yes, there are some protests, but overall, the announcement is met with approval. The Republic delegation they meet with, consisting of the Chancellor himself and a selected group of 10 other senators, smells blood, though, and Obi-Wan and Sen are immediately asked if this means Meladon will join them. Obi-Wan is quick to dismiss this with a pleasant smile and a firm shake of his head. Joining the Republic isn't part of this offer. If you accept, we will remain our own independent system. So you only wish to cooperate with us for your own benefit? One of the senators asks. An absolutely stupid and hypocritical question, because isn't that exactly what the Republic is aiming for? Sen replies, sounding polite and thankfully only slightly condescending. It's merely an offer we thought you might be interested in, considering prior conversations. Of course, if the Republic doesn't need an outpost on Meladon anymore in these turbulent times, we understand. We also hope that the Senate in that case understands that should we feel the need, we might explore other options to ensure Meladon's safety. Murmuring breaks out on the other side of the call, at least a dozen senators talking right through each other, and the recurring demand is,
"Are you saying you'll join the Separatists?"
Which is exactly the question Obi-Wan and Sen had hoped for, assuming the Republic would sooner accept their proposition than make a potential enemy out of them. Obi-Wan smiles pleasantly. "We haven't yet explored what other options look like. We are hoping it won't come to that, considering that establishing an amicable working relationship with the Republic will benefit us both."
"Indeed," Chancellor Palpatine drawls.
He has a glimmer in his eyes and a pleased smile on his lips.
"I believe you have sufficiently pleaded your case, Triumvir, Minister. We shall bring your request up with the full Senate to discuss the matter and vote. One of my aides will get back to you in due course."
When the holocall ends, Sen slumps. "You think they'll take the bait?" Obi-Wan thinks back to how pleased the Chancellor had looked when the call had ended, like he had somehow gotten exactly what he wanted. "Well, let him think that." He nods. "Yes." By the time the Republic approval comes, the Oshirat base is ready. How they've managed to sell this to the Gar Higher Command, Obi-Wan isn't sure, but somehow, someone has signed off on a 2-week rotation. Apparently, they've taken it as a chance to give each platoon some shore leave without actually giving them shore leave. He idly wonders how many employment protection laws are being broken by that, considering a worker's right to proper leave. In this case, though, corporate greed and indifference actually works in their favor. It is agreed that the first Legion to rotate through the newly established Meladon base is the 501st. The excuse is that this was the Legion that played a hand in changing Meladon's mind, but in reality, it was a request from Cody. Fives's disappearance has hit them hard, especially Torrent, and if anyone should find out that their brother is alive and why he did what he did, it's them. But they don't know about Fives, nor the real reason for their presence when the platoon arrives, so when the LAAT lands, the men are in high spirits. Rex goes over to greet Obi-Wan and Rowenny as the others exit the ship. Hardcase is leading the way. "We've arrived, baby!" He elbows Dogma in the side with a laugh. "You think we'll get some pina coladas on this milk run of an assignment?" "Hardcase," Dogma starts, eyes flickering from Hardcase to Obi-Wan and Rex. Hardcase's eyes follow, but he doesn't seem overly worried. Just grins at the both of them and easily says, "No offense, Captain, Triumvir." Rex raises an eyebrow, but he doesn't reply, as if he's waiting for something. Or someone. Fives steps out of a doorway and into view with a grin. "You won't be laughing when you find out what you're actually here for." "Fives?" Echo asks breathlessly. His shock lasts only a moment before he's rushing over and pulling Fives into a tight hug. This is the worst joke you've ever pulled." Fives lets out a loud laugh, hugging the other back just as tightly. "Good to see you too, Echo." Within 10 seconds, Fives is toppled over on the ground under the weight of at least 4 others. a tangle of limbs and laughter that warms Obi-Wan's heart. Another trooper steps out of the LAAT and makes his way over to Obi-Wan and Rex. Obi-Wan raises an eyebrow. Kiri, since when are you 501st? Kiri chuckles. I'm not. But considering the situation, the commander argued that it would be good to have a medic permanently stationed on Melodon. So at least one person knows what's actually going on here. Obi-Wan grimaces in sympathy. And that duty fell to you. Kiri shakes his head with a grin. Oh, I volunteered. Steady would have too, but you know, he's CMO. Well, you'll certainly be making a difference here. Roeni takes a step forward and holds out her hand for Kiri to shake. I'm Dr. Roeni. We'll be working together quite a lot. Kiri shakes her hand, although it's obvious he's not quite used to it. Corporal Kiri. Or doctor, I suppose. By now, the pile that was six troopers has detangled themselves. Rex clears his throat, and the whole platoon line up straight away. All right, everyone, he calls. Introductions first, and then I give you the mission brief. Mission brief, Captain? Jesse asks with a frown. There goes my pina colada, Hardcase mutters, just loud enough for them to hear. You thought we needed a medic on this, what did you call it, milk run of an assignment? Rex tips his head to the side with a smirk. Come on. The next 3 months move quickly and hectically. Six platoons have rotated through the Oshirod base, and while the first month wasn't exactly what one would call smooth, they've ironed out the process now. Kiri is a fixed presence at the base, with Roeni and Obi-Wan alternating weeks, but both being there on the day when a new rotation of troops arrive. Of course, Obi-Wan can hardly perform surgeries, but he can take care of the administrative side of things at least. Which means that in the weeks he isn't there, Neil Dunsarasi split his workload back in Zahava. There have been some minor demonstrations against the Gar presence, but overall public opinion is still cautiously optimistic. When he has the chance to catch up with Cody a few weeks later, however, Cody is far from cautiously optimistic. He doesn't outright say it, but over the months that they've known each other, Cody's relaxed more and more around him, and Obi-Wan's gotten a chance to get familiar with his little tells. Like the way he rubs a hand over his sideburns just a few times too often, or how his shoulders aren't as straight as they normally are. So when Cody's smile doesn't quite reach his eyes when he says he's doing fine, Obi-Wan gently says, "It's fine if you're not." Cody blinks. He starts, and then breaks himself off with a tired sigh.
"I'm just worried. The Outer Rim sieges are lasting forever, and we should be so close to the end of the war."
But
our investigation into the exact meaning and origin of the chips is reaching a dead end, and dechipping is slower than I'd like,
Cody says with a frown.
Even if the medics are diagnosing brain injuries and excusing additional brain surgeries after campaigns, it feels like we're somehow running out of time.
Obi-Wan grimaces. It makes sense. While technically everything is running smoothly, de-chipping 36 clones every 2 weeks, considering there are millions, isn't exactly speedy. And while they could potentially de-chip more clones, there is no way to get them to Melodon. They've certainly been overzealous in thinking they could de-chip all the clones on their own. Obi-Wan sighs. Could you get help? Cody shakes his head.
At this point in time, we need the help of the Jedi to get further in either the investigation or the de-chipping. The opinions on that are mixed. General Skywalker already knows about the chips, but none of us in command have heard anything.
A disappointed look flickers over his face.
If they're investigating the chips in our heads, you'd think they'd involve us.
You're sure Skywalker told anyone else? Obi-Wan asks with a frown. He doesn't know Skywalker well enough to know for sure, but it sounds more likely than the Jedi not involving any of the clones in their investigation. Cody scoffs.
The guy can't even hold his relationship with Senator Amidala a secret.
He shakes his head.
The Jedi must know. General Jin, at the very least.
Obi-Wan takes a deep breath. You think they're purposefully not involving you in their investigation. With what's on these chips, possibly. Cody laughs, too loud and without humor. Can't blame them either. Obi-Wan sighs. It's all so unfair, and he just wants to wrap Cody in his arms.
We'll think of something,
Cody says thoughtfully, like he's planning out loud.
Perhaps we can get away with submitting requisition forms for the additional medical equipment. Force knows that with how many hits we're taking currently, it might be a while before anyone thinks to question it.
If there's anything we can do, Obi-Wan offers, the only comfort he can offer.
You're already doing enough,
Cody says, with a shake of his head. Then he smiles.
Now, I've got about 5 minutes left. Enough moaning from me. How are you?
Good, Obi-Wan answers with a smile. If this were any other time, he might have complained about a dozen little things, but they're all trivial and not what Cody needs to hear. Spent the day babysitting Hugo yesterday. I love that boy, but I really wonder how Sarasi and Milu do it. It's a full-time job.
Did he get up to any mischief?
Cody asks with a chuckle.
The cadets do all the time, from what I hear.
Mischief? Obi-Wan asks with a chuckle. He almost broke a statue at the museum. Cody raises an eyebrow.
Of course he did. He's 5. Not sure the museum is a good excursion.
The Natural History Museum is, Obi-Wan argues with a laugh. It's got specific sections aimed at kids, even a sand pit where they can excavate their own set of fossils. Which, I found out he'd taken one home once we left.
Did you make him take it back?
Obi-Wan shakes his head. Hugo had been so proud of his treasure that he'd excavated himself and then sneaked home. I put it up on his treasure shelf. Cody's eyes widen, and there's an obvious delighted glimmer in them.
A treasure shelf?
Obi-Wan grins. You could start one.
Don't get much chance to search for treasures, no matter how many places we go to. But it's a cute idea.
Obi-Wan gives Cody an encouraging smile. Maybe after the war.
Well,
Cody says, with a grin and a wink.
Then it'll be our treasure shelf, won't it?
Obi-Wan grins back in reply. Theirs, after the war. Obi-Wan's just gotten himself a cup of his favorite tea to go when he feels it, a force presence carefully brushing against his shields. It's hesitant and curious, but most of all, it is familiar. Familiar in the same way Jin's was, in that I knew you in another lifetime way that comes with so many memories and emotions, Obi-Wan feels like he can't breathe for a moment. Heart in his throat, Obi-Wan turns to scan the street. It's rush hour, which means there's many people around and his eyes fly over the crowd. He doesn't recognize any faces, not until... Force, he mutters, and his cup slips from his hand, falling to the ground and splattering tea everywhere. Because they might not have seen each other for a little over 20 years, and they both look older, but that doesn't mean they're unrecognizable. That doesn't mean that he doesn't recognize the face of his childhood friend. Quinn. End of chapter 11.